Good afternoon. My name is Tasha, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Implementing Green Roofs at the Local Level conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. If you should need assistance during the call, please press star, then zero, and an operator will come back online to assist you. Thank you, Ms. Patel. You may begin your conference.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for EPA's webcast titled Implementing Green Roof Projects at the Local Level. This webcast is being hosted on behalf of the EPA, the U.S. EPA Heat Island Reduction Program, as well as the U.S. EPA Local Climate and Energy Program. Today, I will begin the webcast. Neelam Patel, I am the Heat Island Reduction Program Manager and also a team member of the U.S. Climate and Energy Program. I will introduce both of these programs, the concept of green roofs, and also webcast logistics. Following my introduction, David Saylor from Portland State University will be presenting on the energy performance of green roofs. Then we will have Jason Berner from U.S. EPA talking about one of the significant environmental benefits of green roofs, the stormwater management element. Following Jason, we will have Sarah Loveland from DC Greenworks discussing different green roof incentive programs that can be implemented at the local level, and also covering briefly some programs that describe the connection between NGOs describing the connection between NGOs and local governments to help support green roof implementation. And lastly, we will have Michael Berkshire from the City of Chicago talking about the different green roof initiative programs that the City of Chicago has and their success. After all of these presentations, we will have a question and answer session. And you'll hear more about this question and answer session, but I would like to iterate at this time that you are welcome to submit questions at any time throughout the webcast using GoToMeeting, and it would be great if you could indicate the presenter that you would like to direct the question towards. So I'd like to turn it over to Nikhil from ICF International that will go through some of the GoToWebinar logistics.
So just a couple of quick logistical points here. You will be muted throughout the webcast to minimize background noise. The webinar is being recorded, and the files will be posted and available in a few weeks at the URL you see on your screen. And if you have any logistical questions or problems today, contact Lauren Peterson at lpeterson@icfi.com. Next slide, please. As Neil mentioned, please submit questions throughout the webcast using the GoToWebinar window. You should see a pane titled questions on the right side of the screen. You can type in your question and submit them by hitting send. We'll be collecting the questions, and as time permits, we'll be asking them at the end of the webinar. Be sure to direct your question towards a certain panelist just by including their name in the question. Next slide, please. And at the end of today's webinar, a pop-up window will appear with a couple of quick feedback questions. So please take a minute to fill those out, since your feedback will be most helpful. And that's all for logistics.
Great. Thank you, Nikhil. So today's webcast, Implementing Green Roofs at the Local Level, the topic of green roofs is very important when it comes to heat island mitigation, and you'll hear more from David Saylor about that specifically shortly. But green roofs are also the ability of green roofs to reduce the heat island effect also helps address climate and energy issues. So we really did want to, in conjunction, in partnership between the Heat Island Reduction Program and the Climate Energy Program, bring to you information about green roofs so they can be implemented at the local level. In my presentation, I will provide a brief overview of the Heat Island effect, a brief introduction to green roofs, talk a little bit about Heat Island implementation, and then talk about the resources from both our U.S. EPA Heat Island Reduction Program and our U.S. EPA Local Climate and Energy Program. So starting off with, what is a heat island? So the heat island effect is actually a micro-scale phenomena. In dense built-up areas, the temperatures are much higher. In some cases, the temperatures in urban areas that are densely built up can be as high as 9 to 27 degrees warmer than surrounding rural areas. So the reason that we get this microclimate temperature increase in more densely built up areas is because there's reduced vegetation, there's a lot of infrastructure, and the surface is a lot of roofs and pavement. And the other issue is the design. So the urban geometry, there's little room for air circulation to move that heat away from these areas, and so we end up having the heat island effect. Some of the impacts from these higher temperatures in densely built up areas is increased energy use in summers. So the electricity demand can be 5 to 10% higher in areas that have the heat island effect, that exhibit the heat island effect. And this in turn puts stress on the electrical grid. So with this increased energy use, there's other issues as well. So for example, there's increased greenhouse gas emissions from the energy source. So for example, if you're powering your city with a coal power plant, you are in turn, by using more electricity, you're in turn increasing greenhouse gas emissions that go out. There's also increased air pollution, both from the power plants, and also the higher temperatures increase the rate at which ground level ozone forms. So we do have impacts in both air quality and greenhouse gas emissions. Other impacts are related to water quality. There's two issues that I'd like to discuss with water quality. The first one is that the runoff in these densely built up areas is actually warmer, and that leads to ecological shock in the waterways that receive the runoff water. And the second issue that we'll hear more from Jason about is that there is just more runoff from these from areas that are densely built up. So many of the mitigation strategies can not only reduce heat island effect, but they can also reduce the amount of stormwater that is being run off. Other impacts include health impacts, and there's many existing health conditions that can be exacerbated by higher temperatures, and there's also symptoms from high temperatures that can affect human health. One of the main things that we are concerned with is actually heat-related mortality in extreme heat events, and because of the higher temperature, the higher maximum temperatures in densely built urban areas, there is the possibility of a higher heat-related death. And this is something that heat island mitigation strategies can help reduce, but we can also, and an additional resource to help with that public health planning when it comes to excessive heat islands is available through the link that you see on your screen. So there are many impacts from the heat island effect. So what we focus on through our program is providing information and mitigation strategies that can help reduce the heat island effect and have multiple benefits. Here on this slide, you can see that we have four main mitigation strategies that we support with scientifically sound information. Of these four, cool pavements is still an emerging technology, but there are innovative technologies available for cool pavements. What I have done is focused only on green roofs for today's webcast, but as you can see in the title, Mitigation Strategies, there is an appendix at the end of the presentation that briefly discusses each of these mitigation strategies. I will focus quickly with a comparison of green and cool roofs and then talk specifically about green roofs. So if a local government is looking at roofing as an option to mitigate heat island effect, there's two options, green roofs and cool roofs, and each one has different benefits. Today I'll focus on green roofs. In some cases, the initial cost for green roofs can be higher compared to cool roofs, but the green roofs offer additional environmental benefits that you'll hear about through the webcast. So now moving into what is a green roof. And I think through these pictures on the slide, you can see that a green roof is very much having a vegetated surface on a building. And these are great in densely built up areas where there's lots of buildings and you can, lots of buildings. And you can see here in these pictures that these green roofs do break up the built infrastructure by adding vegetation. And that lack of, and by adding vegetation, we're addressing the one of the causes for the heat island effect. So the types of green roofs that are that you can build are extensive green roofs and intensive green roofs. And extensive are green roofs that require less soil and there's less maintenance. Intensive green roofs, on the other hand, have larger plant growth and a greater soil base that's required, and they also require more maintenance. So you'll hear more about the different projects and examples through the webcast today to get a sense of what could work if you were interested in implementing green roofs in your community. And so I'd just like to take a second to talk about the green roofing market. There are many, many roofs, so and lots of square feet that is be that that for which green which roofing is being replaced. So even if a fraction of these of the roof replacements were had green roofs, we would have a very large market. The point of the slide is that there's a large green roof market because lots of roofs are being replaced. And thinking in terms of square feet, 3 million square feet of commercial roofs are retrofitted annually. So if even a fraction of this surface area was to have green roofs, it would have a significant environmental impact, but also that shows that there's a huge market for green roofs. So the more incentive programs we have out there, the more we can implement green roofs. Here are some benefits of green roofs, and many of these we are going to go through on the call today. But some things I'd like to talk about quickly from a practical perspective is the benefits of green roofs include increasing the roof's lifespan in addition to reducing the heat island effect and reducing stormwater. So it's just a good opportunity. There are some disadvantages, and that leads to additional upfront costs, but that's like looking at the benefits and the disadvantages are important for a local entity to balance out or a local building to balance out. And so you'll hear more about that in some of the examples today. So there's multiple different types of green roofs. And you can see flat roofs were in the earlier picture. There's shallow slope roofs, steep slope roofs, and this emerging trend of having green walls, which are more basic in their structure. So when thinking about green roofs and implementation, there's a couple of things to cover here and that to think through, and I'll cover those here. You have to think about installing a drainage system, the different layers of the roof, the type of soil that you will use, the type of plants, how you'll plant these things, and then maintaining these. And depending on the amount of investment, you can make the decision to go with the intensive or extensive type. And here's a diagram to show you some of the factors that need to be integrated into a green roof. When thinking about implementation, there an important element of that is deciding on the type of vegetation that you will use. I just wanted to quickly mention using native plant species. This is a smart strategy for a couple of different reasons, but mainly it comes to maintenance and cost because it would be easier to manage by using local species, native species. They're already able to grow within the local environment. So that's a little bit of an introduction to green roofs. And just bridging the gap, when you're implementing green roof greener frontier community, there's a couple different ways. There is the LEED rating system that when you're thinking about design, you can get credit for green roofs through the LEED rating system. And then other implementation considerations include that for green roofs and heat island reduction generally is that if you're thinking about green roofs, you can integrate them into your planning processes from many different perspectives. They can be part of a climate strategy, an energy conservation strategy, a sustainability strategy. They can be part of green building efforts. They can be part of climate adaptation, stormwater, and air quality programs. So depending on how you would like to implement, you can work with the air quality folks, you can work with stormwater mitigation folks, you can work with the energy conservation, the building, you know, efforts. There's many different ways to creatively integrate green roofs into your work at the local level. So just very quickly, you can take different steps to integrate green roofs, and one way would be voluntary efforts. Today we'll hear about for the City of Chicago's presentation, an award program, but there are and a demonstration program. But there's many ways to get these projects on the ground. Another option to get these projects going is through policy efforts, and the green building programs and standards is a very effective way to integrate green roofs into the work that you're doing at the local level. The last implementation concept I'd like to mention to you is funding. And while it's rare that there's funding that comes out specifically for heat island mitigation, there are creative ways to integrate the green roof concept and other heat island mitigation concepts into different grant program projects. And one example of this is a grant program that's run through the local climate and energy program. And this particular grant, the Climate Showcase Communities Grant, allows applicants to submit projects that essentially reduce greenhouse gas reductions. And this covers a range of activities. And heat island management is one of these categories that can be considered for this grant program. So while the main focus of this grant program is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, you can integrate heat island reduction, specifically green roof projects, into the project. So this grant we've had for one year, and we're going to be announcing a funding opportunity for the second year sometime very, very soon. And when I say soon, I mean any day. So with that, I'd like to switch over to talk briefly about the heat island reduction program at EPA. And our program is a communication infrastructure that works with policymakers, program designers, the implementers, researchers that have information that can help get different mitigation strategies implemented on the ground, including green roofs. And we also support the general public. Topics that we address are heat island science, modeling measurement, and the mitigation strategies such as green roofs. I made this point before, but I would like to just reiterate that heat island mitigation and green roofs can be connected to a variety of programs. And here's a list of different types of programs that you can look at. And one of the things I would like to emphasize here is that you can make connections to public health programs. Through this program, we have a couple of key program features. We have a website that provides calendar of events, Heat Island in the News. So this is news articles that cover Heat Island issues, and a science corner where you can get new science. We have a database that you can see here. There's a link at the bottom of the slide. Here you can access examples of different heat island projects, and if there's any green roof projects out there for which you are looking at building energy conservation or overall atmospheric temperature reduction, we'd like to include your example here in this database, so please let me know. We have a compendium of strategies, and you can see that there's a chapter on green roofs that talks about the different heat island mitigation benefits. And in addition to the heat island reduction program, we also have some resources through our EPA local climate and energy program. The goal of this program is to really help local governments reduce greenhouse gases while achieving multiple sustainability goals. And through this program, we help maximize multiple benefits. This includes cost savings, public health, economic growth, and securing local energy. So again, this multiple benefits framework allows you to attain many different goals: air quality improvements, energy security, quality of life. And here again, through this program, we have many, many resources that can help today's audience on different types of projects that are related to climate and energy and that focus on greenhouse gas mitigation. So here we have a website. You have a link to our website. We offer regular webcasts, and you have a link to our webcast page. Our next webcast is on transportation control measures, which will be later in June, and that date will be posted on the website as soon as we confirm our speakers. We have some resources for economic recovery, and the grant that I mentioned, more information is available on the web for our grant, and we have a series of local climate strategy guides. And again, this is just a quick list of the resources. If you see at the top of the slide, see Appendix B, there you can find more information about the actual resources. So today's webcast is going to be recorded, Nikhil mentioned earlier. What we will do with the webcast is have it on our iTunes channel, as you see here, for download, and we will also have the presentations available online. The other thing we do for our webcast is we have a widget that you can download to your own websites to inform you of when our upcoming webcast will be. So if you're interested in learning about other topics related to local climate and energy issues, please visit the site. So here is the contact information for both of these programs. Here we have the Heat Island program, which is me, Neelam Patel, and then for the local climate and energy program, I have listed our contacts, Andrea Denny, who is the lead for the Climate Showcase Communities grant program, and then my other colleague, Emma Zinsmeister, who helps support the program. So you can see that the appendixes are attached to your presentations for more information. So with that quick overview of the programs, the resources, I would like to introduce our next speaker, and he is David Saylor from Portland State University. David is a professor in engineering, and he is also the director of the Green Building Program at Portland State University. He has a long history of research with urban heat islands, and more recently, he has been involved in the building scale heat island reduction, and today he'll be talking about green roofs. So as David gets his presentation up on the screen, I would like to remind you to please answer your question, or please submit your questions for me and the other presenters as they come up, and include the presenter for which your question is directed. So